Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I tell you, there's nothing like that name, amen. Again, there's not another name given among men that thou shalt be saved, amen. It's him and him alone. Are you in love with him? Amen. I tell you, amen. I tell you, he's a good God, amen. I tell you, you know, we think about failure and things that failed us in our lifetimes. And I know we could all look and think about things that have failed us and things that we have failed. But I'll tell you, there's something about that name that's never failed. Amen. He's never left nor forsaken us. Amen. Never failed us. And I wish I had a testimony that I could stand before the Lord and say, I've never failed him. I wish that was my testimony. And then on the other hand, are you ashamed of your failures? Well, I am, but on the other hand, I thank God for them because he showed himself to me. He showed me his mercy, his kindness, his grace. He picked me back up, amen. He restored me, amen. And I found out how merciful and how good of a God that I'm serving, amen. That he loves me in my weakness. He loves me in my failures and things, and he restores me, amen, and picks me up. So, you know, the thing is, I could speak that as a man. I could speak as a son of God and say that I've never failed him. Never had a spot, wrinkle, or blemish, amen. Never been tarnished, never been touched. Perfect, amen. So you say, well, I like to talk like that, amen. And I say, well, I do too. But you know, I've got to bring this one that everybody sees, this man that walks among the earth upright in righteousness through works, through transformation of mind, through effort, through mortifying that man's desires, wants, and mind out of the way that Christ could live, amen. It's nice to talk about the victory in Jesus and all the things, but it's also good to understand that we're soldiers for Christ and we have a battle to fight. I think of the goodness of God and how awesome he is. It's very encouraging, but I want to be a testimony of his. That's what I want. I want to be a testimony to him, amen, in everything that I do and everything that I say. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified, amen. Let's read a scripture, and I'm going to go over to the New Testament. Joshua 24:15, and it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day in whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, and many times we look back here and we think of, you know, the God that was, God that is, and God that is coming. We look back and we say, well, you know, this is speaking about this God that was, but this absolutely applies to our lives and our things today, brothers and sisters. You know, choose ye this day. Do you realize, you know, that we think of the Hindus and the Indians and all these people with all of their gods, and we think, oh, well, they've got, you know, this bunch of people got over 1,000 gods, you know, or this one has that. But you know, when we come over to America and we talk about Jesus, do you realize how many thousands of Jesuses we have? And there's only one. But do you realize how many thousands of Jesuses have? You know, we might go over here to this denomination and say, oh yeah, we love the Lord Jesus. And their Jesus is a different Jesus than the Jesus I serve. We got to define our Jesus Christ. We've got to define him and we got to know him. And they say, oh, it's all one and the same. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. It's not one and the same. The Catholic Jesus is a different Jesus than I serve. And you say, well, I don't believe that. I mean, I think it's all one and the same. They're using the same Bible and they're talking about the same events and the same story. But they've taken familiar spirits and similar spirits and they're worshiping a Jesus that you and I don't worship. You understand that? It's a different Jesus. I was reading on the internet and this was taking place over in San Antonio, Texas, and in front of a Catholic church because they were standing against the Sodomites. And as all the Sodomites moved in, and they said that they have a right, and the parishioners, or whatever you call them, these Catholic people, all got together petitioning the papacy and them to accept these homosexuals in the church, said that they have the right to worship God just as everybody else does. You see, it's a different Jesus. It's a different Lord. And there's so many people that have so many different kind of gods. And again, we talk as Christians, we talk about these other foreign religions and foreign things with all of their gods. But then yet there's so many right here. You know, when we think of even Paul at Ephesus speaking about an unknown God. Do you know that Jesus is an unknown God to the people of Christianity in our country? They don't know him the way he needs to be known. Because he says, I never knew you. If he never knew them, that means they never knew him. So see, he's an unknown God to them. For him to stand and declare, I never knew you, you work of iniquity, means they did not know him. So he was an unknown God to them. And I know that takes things out a little bit of the context of the scriptures there in Acts, but it's still something to consider and think about. You see, if they knew him, they would know his power. They would know his deliverance. They would know his salvation. They would know his word, because he is the word, and the word is in him, and he in the word. Amen? So the thing is when I say an unknown God, you see, really, people that are walking and professing Christianity say, well, I'm saved, you know, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. They're walking in a perspective of an unknown God. And many times they're saying the right things, but they don't know him in his power, in his authority. They don't know him in his presence. They don't know him as the I Am. They know him historically. They know him of his past and the things that he's did. They know him by the reading of the Bible of what he did when he walked among men. They know him about his resurrection. But they really don't know him. They have a knowledge of him as a historic God, but they don't know him in the present day truth. They don't know him in power. They don't know him walking in his authority today. And that's what we want, brothers and sisters. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What Lord are we going to serve? What God am I serving? Am I serving a God of this world? Am I serving a religious Jesus like this world serves? You know, or am I serving the one and only potent, the one and only true God? You see, we got to sometimes examine, have I been sucked into some kind of a religious ideology? Have I been sucked into some kind of a thing and that, you know, that I'm satisfied with just some kind of a lip worship with him? You know, well, I love you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. I love you and praise you. You know, I thank God for the goosebumps that fall on me when I'm in service and this and that. I hope your relationship goes far beyond that. It's a personal thing. It's a salvation. It's a life. It's not a understanding. It's a life. It is an action of obedience and fellowship and worship and intimacy with him. You know, there's many marriages that have problems because there's no intimacy. There's no real love in the relationship. No embrace and I love you. Do we only love people when they're right? Do we only love people when they're good? Do we only love... See, that's no strength in a relationship. Love, brothers and sisters, is going to embrace and be there and protect and strengthen. Even when somebody's weak or somebody's failed or somebody's fallen, that love is going to be there to hold and embrace and to help and encourage and strengthen. You see, and this is what we look for when we think of this. But see, this is God. As my testimony, we start out here. I think of the times that I failed the Lord, and he's loved and embraced me and picked me up and restored me and took and added back and increased, took the years that the canker and the palmer worm robbed away. You see, this is God. Now, if he is our example and we're to be like him, what do? We do the very same thing. Sometimes we can be very hard and very harsh and never offering an embrace. There's got to be both. We've got to have that understanding to know how God is. Yes, God judge. Yes, God chastens. Amen. Yes, he does do that. But he also picks up and he restores. He cleans up, perfects. Amen. And we got to know him, understand him, and walk with him. Amen. People have different kind of ideas. And they think sometimes we put the ministry in a box and have an expectation. Well, this is what the preachers are supposed to do. This is how they do it. And thus us and us. I wish there was an ABC 1-2-3 way to deal with devils and demons and things. But you know, each situation, each circumstance has got to be dealt with differently. Amen. And the proper thing to do is to start with prayer and believing and faith and hope and trust. And many of you have witnessed how Satan could come and rob you. He could rob you. He could take away. He could take away so many things from you. There's parents that's had their children taken away. You know, there's men that's had their wives taken away. There's wives that's had their husbands taken away. You know, there's so many things I could speak about that Satan, because that's his job, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take everything. If he could take your joy, then he's got a big, big foothold in your life. Amen. Let's just read. Is it okay just to read the scriptures this morning? I'm not a great reader. Bear with me. Read along with me. Let's go right to the first part of this chapter 1, to the first verse. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I hope this is speaking to you and I, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
What if we were just going to take time to talk to you about that passage of scripture right there, that one verse? First place you're going to have to do is believe that. Do you know that many times because of unbelief, it discounts the things of the scriptures and the word of God by unbelief? I mean, we think about when God himself walked among men, you know, and we think that there wasn't many miracles wrought in this place because of unbelief. I mean, it didn't change the fact of who he was. Do you think that he was not God when he walked in Nazareth? Did you think that he was not powerful there? You see, but because of the unbelief, it limited them. They were denied and robbed of blessings of God. And it's no different today. There's people doing the very, very same thing. So again, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." It's been a little while back, hadn't it? According to science, that was some millions of years ago, huh? Millions of years ago. And he chose us. Amen. He chose us because of your good works and because of your good labors and because of all this and that. Well, you couldn't have had any of them before the world ever was. Now, we can go into the foreordination and predestination and speak about that a little bit. But verse 4 again says, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Boy, there's a lot that would like to take that holy part out of that, because we just think that this is a choice of man and it's not in the foreordination or predestination of God. But when you're walking in the Spirit of God and you have been foreordained by him and predestined, and guess what you're going to be? You're going to be holy. Amen. There's no way around it. You're going to be holy. It doesn't matter if all the other religions out here say, "Oh, it's okay. You know, praise God. I don't think this is necessary." You see the rain coming down on people and you see the women running around in their pants and their hair's bobbed off and everything, and they're rejoicing and praising God and crying. Say, man, who can deny that's God? I'll never deny it. It is God all the way. Amen. It's the Lord. When they're on the beach and their bikinis running around and they're rejoicing the Lord and they're praying, when they're at the ball games and they're praying to God before they play and do all that, yes, it's God. Amen. And he is an awesome and he's a good God. Amen. But he is there on the just and the unjust, and the rain is there and everything. But that doesn't justify knowing. Amen. You'll find the justified knowing through holiness. Amen. Without holiness, no man, no woman will see God. It's holy. He's a holy God. Everywhere he's described, he's holy. Amen. And we don't want to ever forget that. So when we start talking about being predestined in him, we better think of holiness. You say, well, that's, you know, just an inward part. Yeah, I'm afraid it goes a lot farther than that. Amen. Because if that inward part doesn't manifest and come forth, that means that the inward is dead. Amen. And he's not dead. He's alive. He is an awesome God. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Amen. Do you want to be in the will of God this morning? Hallelujah. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace," amen, "wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Isn't that awesome? Who wants to be in the will of God today? I sure do. Can I read verse 11 again? I want you to think about this. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." I don't want to be in my own will. Amen. I want to be in his will. Amen. I want to stay in his will. That's where we have to be, man, is walking in his will. Okay, "that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Praise God. Can I read verse 17 again? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. You know, one thing we've got to realize here, brothers and sisters, is the predestination and foreknowledge of God. Now, when the Bible tells us to make our calling and our election sure, some say, well, I'm the elect of God. That means you were elected and you're in the election of him. Amen. You say, well, that's what I am. I've been predestined in Jesus Christ. I'm the elect of God. Amen. Well, the Bible goes on to say, make that calling and that election sure. It's what we have to do. We have to make that calling and that election sure. We find disputes so oftentimes, people think, well, you know, you're a preacher that preaches works. And I declare that. I preach works, amen. I continue to preach works, and I praise God that he has granted works unto me, amen. His works are the ones that I testify about, amen. But his works bring forth and yield forth a manifestation that you could see my works, amen, because I'm one in him. I'm in him, and he's through me, and I'm through him. And when you see me doing something, the glory goes to him because those are his works. I am his works, predestined in him to do the works of him. That's the predestination. You understand that? The predestination, if I'm predestinated in him, that means that I'm in him and he's in me, that he's through me and I'm through him. Amen. And he works through me and I work through him. Amen. We're one. You can't separate us apart. Amen. So when you see good works within me, you could say, well, he thinks that he's going to make it in by his works. It's not my works because I'm predestinated to do his works. Amen. Because the same works that he did when he walked among men is the same works that's laying within me, because it's the same spirit that dwelled in him that raised him from the dead. The Bible says will dwell in your mortal body and raise you up and quicken you. Amen. So it's all one and the same spirit. So where does the glory go? To me as a man? No, it goes to him as God. Amen. Because I'm one with him. We're one. You see, you can't separate it. So when you see some other kind of works laboring within a man or in a woman, then you say, now, wait a minute, what is the predestination? Now we go back to saying, now we're making our predestination and our calling sure. Well, how do I make it sure? I mean, if I'm predestined in Christ, I'm predestined. If I'm not, I'm not. Now, there's many people who take that stand. Well, you know, hey, it was all done in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was, so it doesn't matter. I'm just going to do what I want, walk where I want. If I'm predestined, you know, praise God. If I'm not, hey, I'm going to go to hell anyway, so I'm just going to do what I want. Well, that just is to be made manifest and make proof that you're not of his. And you don't have to even try to make your call and election sure, because it's already been made known because of your own will, your own desires, that you're just going to do what you want. Anytime you see anybody doing what they want, walking in their will, you know, you could say this sounds hard, but it's demons. Because a man, when he's full of the Holy Ghost, doesn't walk in his own will. He surrendered his will. He surrendered his sovereignty. He surrendered his life as a living sacrifice. He gave everything unto the Lord and said, here I am, use me, Lord God. And when you get in the way of that, when you choose your location, your destiny, your church, when you choose your friends, when you choose your spouse, when you choose those things, you're out of the will of God. You see, we got to walk in the Spirit of God. And many times, many of us are treading through troubles and complications because we stepped out of His will and we didn't consider Him. We went ahead and done it according to our own will, our own desires. What is your own will? What is your own desires? It's fleshly. You see, it's enmity with God. It's carnal. And we have to learn to surrender and submit our will. You know, the problem with humanity is, and I'll say, go beyond just the expression of humanity, I'll say the problem with people that profess Christianity, they spend too much time trying to bring God's will into their doings. And then they try to make their doings righteous or make it look like it would benefit the kingdom of God for they could feel good just for their conscience sakes to go on and do what they're doing. But you know, if you're walking in the foreordination of God, predestination, you are not in the way of what you want, what you desire, where you want to do it at, or where you want to be at, or what your occupation is, or any of those things. Amen? You yield totally to God. Now, I'm telling you this, that God, when you learn to totally yield your whole life to Him, and you give it really truly as a living sacrifice. I mean, when you really give it up and you remove all of your desires and all of your wants out of the way, I'll tell you, He will bless you in ways that you could never obtain by walking in your own will. I mean, walking in your own will, you could become mighty, powerful. You could become famous. Your name could be up in the lights. And everybody could know everything about you. And you could be some sort of a dignitary, or you could be some sort of a leader. You could be some great in politics, or you could be whatever, maybe a great religious leader. You could be like a Billy Graham. Everybody knows your name and you've been before all the presidents. You know, and you could say, man, that's what I would like to be. If that's what you would like to be, it shows that you're still in the way, in the will. I want to be what God wants me to be. You understand that? I mean, we think of even the great Apostle Paul in some of his writings talking about being the offscouring of the earth. You know, Jesus himself said, hey, I didn't even have a place to lay my head. You know, is that what you want to choose? Well, I don't think I'd have to choose that. I think that, you know, God with His great provisions and His great blessings for me, that, you know, I'm just going to be blessed, this and that. And I say, yeah, I'm with you. Amen. I'm blessed. But what do you weigh out for blessings? What do you count as being blessed? Amen. I mean, there's people, you know, say, well, I'm blessed because I've got good health. Well, praise God. I agree with you. You are blessed because you got good health. But you know, you could have good health and bust hell by it open, and another one suffering through afflictions and things. And while they're suffering, they found the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice and praise Him in suffering and cease from sin, and they enter into eternal life. So which one do you want, good health or suffering? You know, when it comes down to destiny, if it comes down to your predestination, if it comes down to life, you say, well, Brother Rob, I think that I could have Christ outside of suffering. I say, sure you can. You know, but He does tell you to equip yourself with a mind to suffer. So I don't know why He would have told you that. Now some say, well, that's talking about the suffering of persecutions and things of such because, you know, they hated Him first, they're going to hate you also. And I agree with that. I agree, but we got to take it into all perspectives. God doesn't desire for you to suffer in physical flesh. It's not His desire. He suffered in flesh in the physical realm for you wouldn't have to. But on the other hand, if you choose to follow after the flesh, He will choose for you, if you're predestined in Him, to suffer in the flesh. Do you realize that? Because He wants to remove the flesh and get the flesh out of the way. You see, the flesh is the enmity with God. It's the enemy of God. Fleshly mind, carnal mind, fleshly thoughts, fleshly desires, fleshly will, fleshly prestige, fleshly wanting to be recognized. When a man wants to be seen and recognized and known and people look up to and this and that, they're in the way of God. Anything that you do wants to bring glory to God. Anything that you are doing, you don't want to bring prestige to yourself or glory to yourself. You want to bring it to God. And when you're doing about the Father's business, it'll bring glory to Him. Amen. Do you realize that He uses us to show His glory? We are the glory of God. We are the glory of God, and He is going to use us to show the glory. But how does He do that? How does He do that in us? And how would that be? Because we no longer live, and it's Him, and the glory goes to Him. Well, where do we get blessed in this thing? Because we're one with Him. We're already blessed with everything the Bible says that pertaineth unto life. We're already blessed with all that. Do you realize that? Amen. We are already blessed with everything that pertaineth unto life. The things that we've been blessed with cannot be stolen or taken away by man, by flesh, by the things of this world. You see, and what happens is we're walking far below our potentialities because we're seeking after the blessings here on this earth. And you say, well, I think God could bless us on this earth, Brother Rob. You don't want to preach some kind of a message that the blessings of God are just after we leave this earth. Well, brother, I'll say like this. I agree with that 100%. He wants to bless us now. He wants us to be in health. He wants us to have provisions. He wants us to have everything that pertaineth unto this life and the life hereafter. But the thing is the thing that He blesses us with, if it gets in the way of life hereafter, gets in the way of His will, then is it a blessing or is it a curse? So many times. I mean, when God would go in the Old Testament, he raised up kings. And I mean, he made them mighty, made them powerful, raised them up. I mean, they had everything that this world had to offer. I mean, they had all the prestige, all the leadership and all things, but then they decided to lean to their own power, their own abilities. They denied the prophets of God, and then they fell. You know, the Bible says when you turn and do evil, it says that all of the good that you've done is forgotten about. All of it. The Bible says you ran the race well, but what's hindered you? We got to get this spirit of God, the spirit of eternity, the spirit of endurance, the spirit of power, the spirit that is not seeking after its own. You see, it's the spirit of love. It's not seeking after its own. You see, it's not selfish. That's the spirit of God. You know, and when we find ourselves serving God for our own selfishness, we find serving God because we want our own blessings right now, and we find ourselves serving God, we don't know God. I'm sorry to say that. You see, the Bible is not written to you or to me. It's written to them. I know that doesn't make sense to you, but you read the Bible to bring to yourself, and you've missed it. You read the Bible to bring it to others. The good news of the gospel is to go to others. Well, what do you mean? Well, isn't it for me? No, it's for others, but while you're taking care and doing what it says, and you're partakers and a benefactor of it. Do you understand that? Why? Because you're predestined. Did Jesus walk among earth for himself? Let's go there and that'll help understand what I just said. Did Jesus come and walk on the earth that he could prove to himself that he's God? Did he come and walk among men for he could prove and show that he is all power and all authority? Did he suffer because he needed to suffer for his salvation? You know, he's God. He was always God. He was there before the beginning. He was there before all things were created, and all things were created by him and for him. Amen? He has no beginning, has no end. So now we find him walking among men. We find him suffering afflictions. We find him going through all of these things. Did he have to suffer that for he could be God? No. He suffered those things for that you could see the goodness of God, that you could understand the attributes of God, that he wasn't here seeking after his own. You see, if he was seeking after his own, he would have started a kingdom right there on this earth. But he told him, he said, hey, my kingdom's without observation. He chose to be one of less estate. He chose to be one with nothing, no place to lay his head. Now this is what he chose, and he is the firstborn of many brethren, and we are numbered as the brethren, the children of God, the sons of God. Now he is our example, and he chose to come in and walk in this way. Well, I don't know if I like that. You know, I like the prosperity message, amen, and I like to walk in the blessings. Well, so do I. But we have to differentiate between the Lord and the Christ. We got to differentiate of the will of God. And if we desire the blessings of this world more than we do him, then we're not predestined in him. You know, if we have provisions, it's to testify that God is a great provider and that he will add an increase to you. Amen. It's supposed to be testified. You've heard me make this statement before. The Bible says that the wealth of the unjust is laid up to judge them on the day of judgment. So do we want the things that we have to judge us, or do we want to glorify God? That's what I want it to do. Anything I have, I want to bring glory to God. Amen. I know that's your desire also. And God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to have nice things, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to come up here and preach some poverty message. But the thing is what I'm saying, we have to differentiate and find the will and the mind of God. If the things that you have hinder you from serving him, then did he give them to you, or did you raise those things up and Satan bless you with them that can make you fall away from God? That's where we got to be very careful. You understand that? Because sometimes God does bless you and raise you up and adds a great increase to you. But then when that increase pulls you away, then it becomes a curse and not a blessing. You see, we want to walk in the power of the spirit world, the spirit of God. We want to walk in the blessings and the provisions of God. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. This is his desire. That's his will. That's his perfect will. But how many of you walk in his perfect will? And does prosperity show that you're in the perfect will of God? Not in all cases. There's many people that prosper. And I mean, they are blessed and they don't know God. So see, there's an uncertain sound in riches and wealth. Oh, we all like them. We're all seeking after them. You say, I'm not seeking after them. Well, you know, we all are. We're all looking for better things. We're all looking for greater things, you know, but it could get a hold of us and destroy us and kill us and rob us. What we want to do is be in the will of God. What if the will of God came to you and said, sell everything you got and give it to the poor and come follow me? You say, man, that would be tough. Well, who said it would be easy? I have not found that my relationship walking with God has been easy. Has yours been easy? Well, you know, brother, maybe you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost, man, because I'm telling you what, it's all joy. And I say it is joy. I didn't say it wasn't joyful, but I'm talking about easy. I mean, the Son of Man was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and weeping before the Lord. You know, can this cup pass from me? You know, oh man, he was saying, you know, boy, I'm really desiring to go over here. You see, we sometimes take and select God's will because we like the will of God. We could read about the will of God and you say, well, I know the will of God is for me to be blessed, for me to be in health, for me to prosper. I say, yea and amen. But it's also his will sometimes for you to suffer. But we want to reject that one. When he tells us that we're going to suffer persecution and tribulation, we're going to be hated. Well, I don't like that one. I just, you know, want everybody. I don't want to cross up nobody. If we don't want to cross up people and we don't want them, we're not a servant of the Lord. Well, what do you think, Brother Rob? We're supposed to go around, just get everybody upset and cross them up? No, I don't seek after to cross nobody up. I seek after the thing to speak God's word. And I find by speaking God's word that people get crossed up. That's their choice, not mine. And if I'm speaking the word of God and the truth, they get crossed up. They get upset. They deny the word. And many times, again, people are so skilled to take a scripture and they take part of it. They just take part of the word, part of the scriptures, and that's what they choose to read, and that's what they choose to apply in their life. But where do we choose what part of the word of God that we're going to receive and which one we're going to reject? I think it's all or none. It's all of it or none. So what part of the word of God do you want? The part that I desire, brothers and sisters, is his will, not mine. His will, I found this, that when you walk in his will, then he reveals his glory in you. And if you're not walking in his will, then he cannot show his glory in you. Well, what is his glory? We are his glory. Well, that doesn't make sense, you might say. That doesn't make sense to me. You're saying that we are his glory? I say, yea and amen, we are, when you're walking in his will. Well, then if I'm not walking in his will, then what am I? Then you bring glory to what? The flesh. Now, is the flesh to receive any glory? Not according to the word of God, if it's crucified and it's predestined in him to be dead and no longer live. So if we're bringing glory to the flesh, then it's not bringing glory to God. Now I'm just helping you here a little bit for you to differentiate here in these two worlds and two minds. Now the thing is when a man could stand and boast before people of his education, of his learning, and his ability. See, that's bringing glory to man. Well, are you saying then, Brother Rob, that if you're a son of God or a child of God, that you don't seek after any of those things? No, you don't. But then yet God, if it's his will choose to put you through those things, and the glory will go back to him because the things that you're doing are for his work and his kingdom. The Bible says that we labor that we have to give. Why do we do that? For he receives the glory. And you say, what about laboring for myself? Then it's fleshly. Well, I've got to take care of myself, Brother Rob. I've got the bills to pay and I got things to do, this and that. Well, he said the birds don't put no forethought of tomorrow. And God takes care of them. Are you saying that God cannot take care of you if you're seeking his will? That you've got to get and intervene in it for that you make sure that you have provisions? And if you don't do that, then what kind of God are you serving? I want you to think about that. What kind of God are you serving that you have to intervene and step in or everything's going to go to pot? When things go to pot, it's because God's waking and shaking, bringing persecutions and tribulations to get you in the will and the obedience. Again, when people suffer, they'll find the will of God. They'll find the mind of God. And they will find that they remove their sin when they suffer. I don't know if I like suffering. I don't like suffering. I mean, I know we look in the scriptures, we find disciples, the apostles running out, knowing that they was going to be beaten for his name's sake, and they were rejoicing. Well, you think they liked it? No, they were rejoicing in the spirit of the Lord that they were found worthy to suffer for his name's sake. That's why they were rejoicing. They weren't rejoicing. They weren't some kind of demonic thing, you know, looking for pain. Oh, I can't wait to get beat. No, it wasn't that way. They rejoiced that they were found worthy for his name's sake. Have you found worthy for his name's sake to suffer for him? Some think that they suffer for him. Sometimes they think that they're suffering for him. I've heard people come to me and say, well, you know, this is because of my testimony, you know, and I'm going through this because I'm a Christian. No, you're going through it because of your foolishness. There's two different kinds of suffering. There's suffering for our foolishness, suffering for our disobedience, but there's also a suffering for his name's sake. It's a different suffering. And people will tend to even take their inabilities or their rebellion and their weakness and think that they're suffering for the Christ's sake, and they're suffering because of their ignorance. Do you understand the difference of that? Have you ever considered that or looked at it? Oh, my wounds stink because of my foolishness. Do you think that's what Paul was speaking about? He could be a man of God to testify about his foolishness and about some of his wounds, yes. But there's also, when they're talking about bearing marks in their body for his name's sake, that's a difference. You see, we got to ring the bell of these things. We got to ring the bell of our life. We got to analyze and find out, now wait a minute, what is this for? Am I being chastened for His namesake? Or am I being chastened because of my disobedience? Am I being persecuted because I have the Spirit of truth laying within me and I'm about the Father's business? And am I being persecuted because they hated Him first and hate me? Or is this chastening of the Lord? We have to define it and look at it. There's been times that I've had things that would come in my life and I'd start rebuking Satan. You know, I'm not going to receive this, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord step in and say, wait a minute. Don't be rebuking me, the Lord says. I am the one to put that there. I am the one to put that obstacle there. I am the one to put this blockade there. Why? Because of His mercy and His love. Because I wasn't walking in His will. I was walking in my own will. Now, I made a statement a moment ago, and I'm going to say this again, that many times you spend much of your life trying to bring blessings on your will for it would look like it's godly and holy. And you want to bless it. So you take and submit your members to the best of your ability and your substance and things to God. For you could look like you're a Christian and godly, but you've never really surrendered. Man, I made many years of my walk that way, brothers and sisters. Again, you think, well, you're testifying weakness, Brother Rob. No, I'm testifying the grace and the power of God to get my eyes open that I could see. How many of you walk in blindness? You say, well, I'm a son of God, man. I've had my eyes opened. You know, and I could see. And I could see good when good comes. And I say, well, praise God, I like your testimony, but are you really walking in the light? Are you really walking in the will of God? You see, if you're stumbling and staggering around, it means there's some blindness there and you're walking in some darkness. His word is a light unto our path. When we're walking in the light, yes, it's going to lead us into some places of the valley of the shadow of death, but there'll be no harm to us. Well, if I'm suffering, must be I'm out of the will of God. No, sometimes you're suffering because you're in the perfect will of God. And He's chose you with the strength because you got enough holiness and God in you that you could suffer for His name's sake to bring others in. Now, didn't Jesus suffer for that reason? Now, Jesus Christ suffered that others could come in. He wasn't suffering again for Himself. He suffered for you and I. So, well, He's already done all that. Amen, He has. But let's bring it into a present day application. We're sons of God. We're walking in the Spirit of God. We're walking in the will of God. We are the will of God. And He chooses this day for you and I to suffer that others could come in. Why would people have to suffer to bring other people in? Well, if we go over to Hebrews again in 11 and we think of the suffering, the persecutions, and the tribulations that these forefathers and children of God and prophets and men of God had to go through to show God. I mean, they had to be thrown in the lion's den for God to be testified. Is that right? You know, they had to be pressed up against the Red Sea with this army pursuing on them to kill them all. And then the Lord parted the sea. So what is God going to do for you? What kind of affliction are you going to endure that we could see the power and the glory of God in the earth? I mean, well, my God's a healer. Well, then somebody was sick. My God's a deliverer. Somebody was bound. My God's a restorer, reconcile. Somebody fell away for He could reconcile them. Well, was that His will? No, it's His will to do those things. But many times we got our will in the way and He showed His mercy and love to restore us. But what is His will for you? What is His will for me? To walk in obedience. To walk in His will, His mind, His holiness, His power, that He could be glorified and magnified. Amen? That's what He has in store for us. But you see, you take and you believe that this is His will for your life, so you do everything to walk in that and bring His blessings on it. Sometimes it's His will to strip you down to nothing. Then He could restore you. Oh, but I like the sound of restoration. Well, you didn't like the sound of stripping. Oh, I like the sound of resurrection, but there had to be a death to have a resurrection. Well, I don't like the sound of the death part. Well, there can't be a resurrection without the death. There can't be a healing without sickness. There can't be a deliverance without an affliction of some sort. We prayed for an individual this morning that's afflicted and bound. So, you know, God could get a testimony in this thing when we see deliverance. But let me tell you something. One major problem with people. You know, I believe in testimony. I believe in having a good testimony within and without, having a good name. We need to have that. But sometimes we, brothers and sisters, we live in a lie and we manifest a lie because we want people to look at us and we're looking for our testimony to bring glory to us and not to Him. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, if you can understand what I just said right there, it'll help you in leaps and bounds in the Lord. You want to carry a testimony so bad that people could look at you and esteem you as being great, that you're living a lie. And do you realize that in your weakness, He shows His strength? But you don't want somebody to look at you as weak, so you're living a lie. I don't understand, Brother Rob. Are you telling me that I'm supposed to project myself as weak? Well, if you would do that, he'll make you strong. That's his word. But if you're walking in your own strength, because of your own knowledge, because of your own understanding, because of your own scripture retentions, because your own quotes of the Bible, and you're walking within that, you already fallen. You're already bound up. Well, what's wrong with having all these things? There's nothing wrong with having those things, but it's in his mind, not yours. You see, you could take and make your mind religious. You could make your mind speak his word. You could make your mind appear to walk in his word. And you could have everybody looking around you and saying, man, look at this guy. He lives right. He dresses right. He does right. He, she, whatever. But you're doing this all through will worship. And sometimes he will allow things like the sister we prayed for this morning to fall, for they could get out of the appearance of things and get into the real endurance of things. Do you understand that? Spend too much time wanting to look good before people. I watch sometimes people, they'll want to project something just to bring a thought to somebody else. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that, Brother Rob. Well, there truly isn't, but it can become such a drive. We could paint such these little pictures about ourselves and what people just look upon, and it's a total misunderstanding. I'm talking about Christianity, saints. You know, we go around walking through this world and everybody think, well, man, you're the real example of a Christian. Well, I think that's good and I appreciate that, because we're supposed to have a testimony within and without. And we're supposed to be walking in the light and walking in the counsel of God. But I'm telling you, where are we yielding to him to allow him to be glorified in our life? Because many times the things that we're walking in, we're just wanting to be glorified in our effort. Because I'm a good man of God, because I'm great. I want people to say, because, you know, I could do this. Let me tell you something. When you find yourself on your face and he picks you up, then you'll find a little appreciation. You say, well, I don't think a man has to fall on his face. No, he doesn't. But I'm telling you what, sometimes they don't know God until they do. Sometimes they just heard about the things of God. I preached, laid hands on people, and I saw the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ go through my body into people. And I saw them miraculously delivered from death, from afflictions, from sicknesses. But you know, I never experienced it in my own body or in my own life. Oh, I've been touched before, and he's touched my body in healing and measure and different things. But I'm talking about death sentences and delivered me. You see, it made me different. But how did I have to go through that? Through some suffering. Well, was that his will? Is that his will? Was it his will that was taking place when he went over and hardened Pharaoh's heart? It evidently was. I mean, because God went over to harden a man's heart. And when the man was hardened in his heart and wouldn't let the people go, that was the will of God. It wasn't God's will for him to let the people go, or God wouldn't have went over and hardened his heart. Well, I think the will of God was for Moses to bring the people out of there. Well, why did he do that? Why did he harden Pharaoh's heart? Because God could not have been seen in his power unless there was an adversary in the way to show the power. If I came into this church and I said, let me tell y'all something. I don't like using sports, but I guess I will to make a point. I don't even know if they have these things no more. I'm just going back to childhood. But you know, I'm a golden glove in boxing. You know, but I tell you, man, I really trained a lot. Had to get my nose straightened out. Now I'm a golden glove. You think, well, praise God. You know, that's okay, bro. I'm glad to hear that kind of testimony, you might say. But then yet, if it came down to it, and then there had to be a performance, it's okay to receive the glory. Oh, you're a golden glove. Man, look at the trophy on the wall. But if you see a man perform, then all of a sudden it's like you see the manifestation of the strength. Well, I'm a son of God, amen. I've had all things that pertain unto life given unto me. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God, if you don't know what the Holy Ghost is. I've been filled with the power. Power to what? For you can walk around and testify yourself? What did he give you power for? You know, well, bless God, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost for you to speak in tongues. Did he give you the Holy Ghost for you could walk around and make yourself better than everybody else? Did he give you the Holy Ghost for you could be religious? For you could say, well, you know, I'm better than you. Man, you're a drunk, you're a scumbag, you're this and that. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that why he gave you the Holy Ghost? What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? It's life. It's the only life there is. And without that life, then you're dead. So why did he give you the Holy Ghost? For life. Well, what life is it that's going to be glorified in the Holy Ghost? His life. Not your life, his life. This is where you've made the mistakes, is that you have taken and you've partook of the power of God, that you could bring it to yourself, to be esteemed unto mankind. I mean, that's the biggest problem in the ministry, is it's the glory brings them down. Not the glory of God, but the glory to themselves, the pride. Well, you know, I'm special in God because I've received the word of God. You heard the word, but you didn't hear, or you didn't partake, or you didn't walk in it, but I heard the word. Amen. I'm partakers of the word. I'm walking in the word. I'm a manifestation of the sons of God, and I've got the Holy Ghost. Well, you boastful thing. We should have that testimony, Brother Rob. It depends on how that testimony comes forth. Is it coming forth that you're better than them? Because the testimony of a Holy Ghost filled man is he's esteeming that man better than himself. And he's looking to that man's will and desires and prosperity more than he's looking at his own. Now we're talking about the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The manifestation of the Holy Ghost isn't for you to stand before somebody and stand up and look at them like you're better than them because you got a greater measure and a greater spirit. When we think of the full measure of God came and walked among men and he esteemed them all better than himself. He said, I came to wash your feet. I came to serve you. I came to minister unto you. Now we're talking about the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. It's not to make you somebody. It's to show that he's everything. And when you yield to that, and you walk in that, all he's going to do is bless you in everything that you do. We say, well, I don't know, Brother Rob. Well, there's an uncertain sound that goes forth. I understand. I know that, but we have to walk in discernment. We have to learn to discern the mind of God, the will of God. We got to discern the provisions of God. It says in the Bible that he will have craft to prosper. So we find that the demonic powers of this world could prosper you. And many times people will look into these things and say, well, this is God. It's the blessings of God. Well, you should, as a son of God, say that anything that you have is the blessings of God. That should be your testimony, each and every one of you. I don't care how small it is or how big it is. I don't care if you live in a 300 square foot house or a 30,000 square foot house. You should be able to testify God and say, man, this is from the Lord. Amen. That's what you should do. And that's what you have to do. But again, brothers and sisters, in doing this, you know, we have to understand what this thing is for. Is what is this world that we're walking in that's temporal? It's here for a moment and it's gone, right? So what is the purpose of the things here in this world? If anything that we have can bring glory to the kingdom of God, then God will utilize it for his glory. But if it robs him, if it takes away from him, and if it brings glory to you, then it becomes the enemy of God. And it could be an uncertain sound. We got to be careful now what we're hearing this morning. We need to take heed to what we're listening to. And we need to make sure that we're applying and examining. Brother Pike had a man that was working around the campground, working and laboring for him, and made himself as faithful as he could. Trying to work and stuff, they purchased an airplane. The man says, hey, I'll go to college, man. I'll go to school for I can get my aircraft mechanic license. I can work on your airplane. Guess what he did? Guess what he is today? You know, hey, praise God, he's got an aircraft mechanic license and he walked out of the will of God and left and forsook the things of God. Wouldn't he have been better off to stay in the house of God and been a servant in the house of God as to go out there in the world and get the things that the world has to offer? You say, well, I don't see anything wrong with seeking after education. I don't either if you could use it for glory of God. But if it brings glory to you, then it's in God's way. See, that's a hard message for you to perceive or comprehend. You know, people take and go the extreme the other way of this. And they say, well, you know, that preacher just wants us to be a bunch of ignorant poor people. He wants us to be a bunch of ignorant people with nothing, not no understanding, you know, this and that. Well, it might be a good place to start. Because if you would present yourself in ignorance with nothing, and he could add everything to you and raise you up in wisdom. You know, he gave a spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Do you realize that the wisdom and knowledge of God supersedes anything that the knowledge of man, all the physicians and all the doctors, when the best of the very best of all of the doctors in this world stand before a man, they've done probed him, they've examined him, they've looked in the pictures, they've cut into him, they've looked and everything, so there's no more we can do. But then yet with the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom of God, he could say, hey, this isn't a problem for me. There's nothing too big for me and nothing's impossible. And he says, be ye made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. And the man walks out in his health. See, you understand how the knowledge of God supersedes all of the knowledge of doctors and men? I mean, God's an awesome God. The thing is when you think of the mind of humanity and man with all of their thinking and all of their understanding and everything that they can do, God could blow on that in a second. Just like that. And it'd be gone. You know, I could say this not in a disrespectful way, but my mother was a brilliant woman in her day. I mean, she was hired by corporations to go and audit books. And boy, she was a master of doing auditing of these big corporations and books and finding embezzlement and those kind of things. She was an expert at it. Boy, she was sharp with numbers and she was a businesswoman. Man, I mean, she was sharp as could be. But I watched God blow on that. She was looking at a refrigerator and couldn't remember the name of it, what it was called. And you could see the fear hit her in her eyes thinking, why can't I remember that? And as things went on down, the people like her grandchildren and great-grandchildren would come in and she could see her trying to rack her mind, trying, what is their name? I can't remember. You see, where's the brilliance and the glory? Is it in the mind? Is it in the mind of the human retention and things? No. It's not in that. Brothers, everything that you are, everything that you have, every bit of substance, every bit of treasures that you have is all nothing. It all goes to naught. I mean, I could take you down here to High Point and take you to these places that were built in the 30s and the 40s. That, I mean, it was the most prestigious place. And if you live over in this neck of woods over here in this subdivision, you're numbered with the elite. And now they're poverty areas. What does that say? I mean, what are we going to esteem? What are you trying to say to us this morning, Brother Rob? I'm trying to say is everything that you see and everything that you touch and everything that you look at and everything that you chase after is temporal and is going to fade away to nothing. And there's only one thing that we can do, and that is 100% surrender to Jesus and Him alone, because He is everything. He's the only thing that's eternal. And if you're not predestined in Him, then you're not eternal. You do not have eternal life outside of Him. You cannot seek after eternal life outside of Him, because He's the one and only eternal life that there is. Amen. And it's all in Him. And you say, what about those in hell that are eternal for damnation through all of eternity? Are you going to call that life? That's not life. That's eternal death and destruction and torment. That's not life. Christ is the life. He's the way. He's the only way. Amen? And we can't get in that way. And we can get in the way of Him by wanting to make ourselves to be something when we're nothing. Be nothing. When you become nothing, He becomes everything. When you lose your life, then you gain life, because you receive Him. If you seek after your life, you lose Him and you perish. But if you lose your life, then you gain life. But if you seek after your own, you lose it. But if you seek after His, then you gain it. You see, that's the ways of God. That's the mind of God. That's the mind of Christ. That's why the Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, some don't really understand that revelation. And they think, well, it's more blessed to give because I've received more and more. Well, that's the truth. When you're giving, you'll be receiving more and more because He outgives you. But if that's the purpose of your giving, then you have missed the real revelation of it. It is more blessed to give. Because when you're giving and you're giving and you're giving and you're giving, you are walking in the manifestation of God, because He is a giver. He gave His all, every drop of blood. He gave everything. He said that He became poor that you could become rich. That's what the Bible says. Do you realize that? He was already rich and had everything, but He came poor and walked among you in poverty that you could become rich. Are you willing to do that, church? Something to think about. Well, that's what He done. Well, I thought we were to be Christ-like. The Bible said the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus that raised Him up from the dead will dwell in your mortal body. It'll change you in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Okay, so we're talking about a transfiguration, a change, but what about the transformation change that that Spirit in you is going to do right now on this earth? It's going to transform you into the mind of Christ, that you're going to walk in righteousness and holiness, that He could be glorified in heaven in you. You know, brothers and sisters, it's simple, man. It's very, very simple. I'm going to go back to verse 11 in Ephesians right there in the first chapter. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know what happens? We'll walk in the will of God until His will isn't our will. And we've left the counsel of His own will and we went into the counsel of our own will. That's a devastating place to be, brothers and sisters. Your own will could look religious. Your will worship could look good. But I want to be in His own will, in His purpose. What is His purpose for me? What is His purpose for you? Do you think about those things? Am I fulfilling the purpose that God has put me on this earth for? What is my purpose? Think about it. What is my purpose? Now, see, you hear me saying my, but I want to hear you saying that in your thoughts. What is my purpose? Why did God purpose me to walk on this earth? Why did God choose me if I'm predestinated in Him before the world ever was? So why, before this world ever was, before the foundations of this earth ever came together, why did He choose me? Now, we know it's for His will, for the purpose of His own will is why He chose you and predestined you. But then now we got to define, I say, okay, that's His will, that He predestined and chose me to be in His will. Now we say, what is His will? What is His will for you? Do you come to a place that you've already fulfilled His will in your life? Or is there something that His will is a perspective of a daily thing? You see, today His will might be that I'm thrown in a lion's den and be spared. But then does that mean He's done with me? That that's the sole purpose for my life? Or is there a will for today and a will for tomorrow? You see, what is God's will for you? You see, I want to surrender 100% to His will and whatever it would be that would bring glory to Him. If it's sickness, to bring glory to Him for healing and strength. If it's the perils of death, and that he's going to put me in, for he could show me that he is the Prince of Life and the power over death, then that's where I want to be. And you say, but I'm afraid of that. Well, then I want to come into his will, that perfect love casteth out that afraid and that fear, for I could be walking in the power of his might. You understand? What is his will for you, brothers and sisters? Is your life bringing forth a testimony of him? What does your life testify about? What is your desires testifying about? What is your occupation testifying about? What does your wife testify? What does your children testify? What does your husband testify? Is it bringing glory to God? And you say, Brother Rob, everything about you is, you know, about God and the glory of God and this and that. What about me? I got to have a life. You got no life when you're in his will. Well, the Bible said he'll bless us with abundant life. The abundant life is not your life, it's his life. That's why you're predestined in his abundance. This is where you got to learn to understand what I'm saying here. You see, when you want to bring your life, then that's death. But you want to bring forth his life, and that's eternal. That's abundance. That's blessings. Well, you make it sound like there's no room for us to have any kind of pleasures. As I said, the disciples, when they ran forth, they were leaping with great strides and leaps of joy to be persecuted for his name's sake. They found joy in that. Why would they find joy in that, Brother Rob? Because they knew that it brought forth the dividends of eternal life. So you're saying they had to suffer for eternal life? Well, the Bible, that's what it told them. Equip yourself with that kind of mind and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. This was a mind to suffer, a mind to be persecuted. Tribulation. Well, why would he want us to do that? For we could bring others in. We're not here for our own. We're not seeking our own. We're seeking his will. What is his will for us among the earth? To bring others into his kingdom. Do you understand? You're saviors. You are the servants of God and you're saviors. And that's the sole purpose we have here. We're not here to be esteemed of men. We're here to bring glory to God. We're not here to be recognized and known of all men. We're here to come in and show forth the glory of the living God. I'm just trying to go back and forth here and differentiating this thing between your desire and his desire, between your will and his will. And some of you have made your will so religious that people can't really discern the difference between your will and his will. And I think that's great, but you still got to surrender and make sure it's all him and none of you. Sometimes the Lord allows crashes, crash ups. Sometimes he allows those things for we could differentiate between his will and your will. Do you understand that? I preached some messages in here and I said you could be at home fasting and praying and being on your face all day before the Lord and be 100% out of the will of God. But you've done this to soothe your own conscience because you know that this is something God likes for you to do. But you know, God likes for you to do this and you reject doing that. But then the day he wants you to do something else, you say, well, I'm going to appease him and I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go ahead and today I'm going to fast and today I'm going to pray. Brother Pike made a statement. He said, sometimes people fast and when it's all said and done, all he got's a hungry devil. You say, I just don't understand it. I do. That's why I spoke it, for you can understand it. If you fast, you want to do it by the mind and ordination of God. And you're doing it to weaken yourself to get your will down and out of the way for his will can take place. Otherwise, it's in vain. There's no need in it, no good in it. You see, there's a will of God. And his will might be for you to abstain from eating, but then yet his will might be for you to eat to get strength that you could do something that he's commanded and asked you to do. Yes, your body can go without food and things. Moses did it for 80 days. He's the same today into every generation. Yes, he could take you and set you apart, and he could keep strengthening you. But what's his will? What's his purpose? Many times we will to do things for the wrong purpose. It said that when you do that, you know, put a little oil in your hair and stuff so you don't look down and beaten because some people do those things to be recognized before other people. So we got to find the will of what is the will and what's the purpose and why am I doing this? Why do I go to church? I go to church because I got to have a testimony. If I'm not in church, I have no testimony. Well, that's a good start. But we should have another purpose also. If you're not in church, then you're disobedient to the word of God. And his word is obedient. We don't forsake the assembling together. So we look for the obedience of his word in us, yes. But there's more of a purpose than going to church to be obedient to God. There's a purpose that we go to glorify him, to magnify his name, to worship and praise him. And we go to church that we could be strengthened. We go to church that we could draw from the things of God and receive the power of God in our life. Why do we want the power? For we could be recognized? No, for he can. It's the power, brothers and sisters, that gives us the power to endure to the end. It's the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the strength of endurance that shows other people that it's possible that they could receive faith from your works. And your works is his glory. And that glory is his and his alone. And the honor goes to him. Are you with me, church? You say, well, everything's about him. I said, man, if that's what you got out of this, man, I could close for sure. Because it's all about him and him alone. It's all him. It's all Jesus. Well, I want something. I got everything. Because I want him. I want him. I want all of him. I want his will, his life, his way. Amen. And when I walk in that and I give all mine to that, then he has me back abundant life. What is the abundance of life? It's eternal. That's the abundance of life. It's eternal, the eternal Spirit of God, the predestinated eternal Spirit of Him. And when it goes forth and manifests in this day and hour, the glory goes to Him. So start differentiating. As the Bible said, try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. Examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. Talk to Him, walk with Him, and ask Him about your life. Ask Him about what you are doing. Is this what you really want me to do, or am I doing this because this is what I want to do? You see, you love God. I'm not going to question your love that you have for God. I could question it if you're disobedient, not walking in His commandments. I could question that by the Scriptures and the Word of God. But I'm going to say that I'm not going to question your love for God. So the thing is that you love the Lord enough to take and make your will look godly enough for you could have this peace of mind that's a temporal satisfaction through your own will. That you could feel like you're okay with God and you could continue walking in your own will and your own desire, that you could be manifested, seen among all men, that you could be recognized as somebody great in God. You want to be numbered. But go and read about the apostles and read about their end. And some of the great prophets of God and read about their end. Are you sure that you want to be recognized and seen? It was the will of God for those things to take place. And it's going to go on, worlds without end. But when is your day and when is your end? I wish we could really truly be truthful with our own selves. Man has a problem with lying to their own self. They really do. But if we could really be truthful with our own self and we could really analyze and examine, if we could do this in the truth of God, if we could do it with the Spirit of truth, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying to do this to have your head hanging down low. He said, when you got your head hanging down and your feeble arms hanging down, He said, lift up your head and rejoice and praise Him. So I'm not trying to get you to walk in doom and gloom, but I'm trying to get you to understand something and to really truly analyze something and see truly where you're at with God and where you're walking at. Why are we doing this, Brother Rob? For our own salvation? No, we're doing this for others. You see, the things that I find grieving me as a minister, the Bible says it's not a problem to grieve the man of God. The thing that grieves me, it's not grieving me for your soul's sake of the things that you're doing. It grieves me for the souls of others that God has put you here for His purpose and His will to lead into the kingdom of God. But they cannot follow you or walk with you or receive anything that you got to say because they see the things that you do. So that means you're not walking in the will of God. So maybe God wants you to suffer that they could see you testify Him in your suffering, that you could glorify the things of God and the kingdom of God and remove yourself from the things of this world. Now think about it, church. What's the will of God for you? I want you to think about that for a moment. What if I said, let's just have a quiet time for a moment. Let's all just kind of bow our head and meditate in the things of God and say, God, speak to me. I need you to speak to me. He's been speaking all morning. But I'm saying, you know, God, let me hear what you're really saying here. You know, with my attempt and my effort, I know what's in the Spirit of the Lord right now. It's in my spirit. And I'm making an effort to speak this to you. But I know that with all of my effort, lest you pray that God would grant the revelation to you of what this preacher's trying to say. It doesn't matter if I could articulate. It doesn't matter if I would be good at speech. If you do not ask God to open your understanding of what the Spirit of the Lord is pleading with you about this morning, then you'll never get it. You can say, well, that's because you're not a good orator. Yes, Jesus wasn't either, because He looked at him and said, you don't have ears to hear. And I'm not saying that to esteem myself, brother. I'm just saying I'm making an effort here, and I apologize that I'm not a great speaker. I apologize I'm not a great reader or a great writer. But I can say this, I know His Spirit, and I know what He's trying to put forth this morning. And you say, well, I believe, Brother Rob, that you've taken adequate time, and I believe that I understand the gist of what you're saying. I said, what about the guy next to you? Just because maybe you proceed, what about the one next to you that's walking out in darkness and intellectual darkness? Would your spirits been good this morning? I'm not being pressed, you know, well, you got to do this and that. But what I'm saying is we need to be very careful. We need to be in prayer before the Lord and say, God, you know, this life is just like a vapor and a mist. It's here for a moment and gone. Now, to you, 80 years might not seem like a vapor and a mist. But when you put it into the plan of eternity, if I gave 10 $100 bills to many of you in this church, say, I just, you know, I want to bless each and everybody in here with $1,000. Man, you say, man, that is a lot of money, Brother Rob. But then yet, if I go over here to some multi-billionaire and you put that $1,000 right in there with all of his money, man, he wouldn't even probably have noticed it in his balance. He probably not even have noticed that other $1,000 there. Man, you put it in my bank account, it'd smile real big. But you know, you put it in his, he didn't even notice it. You understand what I'm saying? So now you take 80 years, you think, man, you know, when you're 12 years old, you're looking at, man, that's a long time. But when you're 79 years old, you look at it and think, man, that was pretty fast. Like that, it's gone. But what about you, your life? 80 years, 70 years, 60 years, 100 years. Man, I might live to be 120. eyesight might not even wax dim. Praise God. But what's 120 years when you take and set this into the scope of eternity? Where will you be in 1,000 years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? Amen. And 1,000 years from now is just the beginning. I remember hearing this little story, and I'll say this in close. But trying to get a concept or an understanding of eternity, it talked about a little sparrow that flew from the Sahara Desert over there, grabbing one pellet of sand and flying all the way across the Atlantic and taking it over to the Great Sahara Desert and dropping off and coming back over and getting one. And by the time it moves that whole beach and all them sand dunes off over there to that other country, across that Atlantic, that one bird now, by the time he gets all that sand moved all the way over there, and you think, man, that's going to take a long time. But that's just the beginning of eternity. And then you think of 80 years and what's that? What is it? 100 years? What's that? Are you willing to sell your soul? We mock selling a birthright for a bowl of porridge. We think of Esau. You think, well, how foolish can this guy be? He's selling his inheritance and his birthright for a bowl of stew. How foolish can a man be? How foolish can you be to sell not even a half a teaspoon of stew for salvation and eternity for a birthright? You see, you got to start thinking different. You got to analyze things differently. And don't get caught in this scope of temporal life and making yourself to be something in temporal life. I saw a picture at Sam's Club yesterday. This Sam Walton on the wall with his wife. You know, the brother's gone. But I mean, I could esteem him in the mind of humanity as a great man. I mean, look at the empire that this guy has got right now. The largest corporation in the world. I mean, the most prosperous. And they said even through all the bad times and economic crisis and failures, they're still building stores and they're adding a number and increases. You know, I'd like to shake his hand. Hey, you know, sir, man, you've really done something. I don't know anything about the man. If he was a Christian, a heathen, I really don't know. But I'm just speaking about him as a man. I'd shake his hand and say, boy, I'll tell you what, you're something, man. I mean, that man was a powerful man. But let me ask you this. How many of those super Walmarts and billions of dollars that they bring in would he right now, if he was in hell, say, man, I'll give that all up. Just a little spittle on my tongue. You see, we weigh things out sometimes so wrong. You know, I'm a man too, brothers, and I could esteem this man as a great man and I could appreciate his great things. But I'm speaking to you about eternal life and eternity. And what if all of this empire that this man had and built hindered him from worshiping the one and only true God? Would it be worth it? His days are done. It doesn't matter what kind of money's in the account. It doesn't matter how wealthy his family and his children are. If that man could analyze and look and talked about the rich man in hell, preaching a message, saying, oh gosh, man, what would I give for this? See, I could talk to you that are alive and well. What would you gain to lose your own soul? The Bible says if you gain this whole world and lose your soul, what has it prospered you? Why did he put that in there? But see, what is Satan's calling? What is his mind? He's going to offer you everything this world's got. And you say, look at this, it's pleasing to the eye. Oh yeah, God will give this to you. God will bless you with this. God wants you to have this. Didn't he lie to Eve the same way? Hey, this is good, it's pleasing to the eye. Go ahead and partake, take of this. Surely you won't die. Well, Brother Rob, I'm not sure if I understand your message. You act like if I've got provisions and things that I'm surely out of the will of God. I hope you don't get that out of my message this morning. Maybe I ought to put my house on the auction block if that's the message this morning. But what if God's will told me to give it up? What would I do? Believe me, I've done it before. What do you have that you're not willing to give up? That might mean more to you than saying, what would you give up? But what do you have that you wouldn't give up? Wife, daughter, children? Is there anything that you wouldn't give up for God? If there's something there that you wouldn't give up, that would be the very thing to become a God to you and put you into eternal damnation. Just a sobering thought this morning, sobering message, something to think about, talk about, consider, examine. I know you love God, but I also know that there's a mind that lays within man to love their own selves. And the Bible said they love the pleasures of this world more than they do God. Could that be you? Could that be me? Could we love the pleasures of this world? Now see, we could deny that scripture and say, well, I really don't love the pleasures of this world more. I love God with all my heart. If you show forth to be loving the pleasures of this world more than you do God, you come to church, you don't raise your hands, you don't worship Him, you don't magnify Him, you don't praise Him, but then yet when you're in the world, you're just rejoicing as happy as could be. We got brethren that were numbered to be elders within the work that are out in the ball games and the ball fields and in the sports, and they're not dressing properly. Their wives aren't dressing properly and stuff, but man, they've been set free and they've been liberated because this message is bondage. Man, this message put restraints on us. This message, you know, is a legalistic. It puts labors on us and things. And I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm not going to change one iota of what I'm preaching. You think that you could find God in your way? Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But I know which way's proven, and I know which way works, and I know which way endures. Amen. And when we start yielding to another message, another mind, and another thing, and saying, hey, look at these people. They've got God. They love the Lord. They praise God. They rejoice in the Lord. Well, if that's what you're looking at, you are in trouble. You're in bad trouble. You say, well, Brother Rob, is it your way or no way? No, it's His way or no way, because He is the way, and He's the only way. Amen. There is no other way outside of Him. And if I'm preaching another way, somebody stand up and rebuke me, please. But you know, brothers and sisters, I mean, I could appreciate that if I'm in error, but I'm not in error. I don't have a spirit of error. Oh, I could testify of my mistakes and being on my face, and I could testify of Him picking me up, but there's not no error in this message this morning. It's Him and Him alone. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the door. He's the one and only true God, the potent God. He is everything. We don't have room for anything else outside of Him. You see, when the woman was in relations with other men and they drank the dust off the tabernacle floor and they drank of it, it said it caused their thighs to rot out. God had a way of indicating and showing. You understand that? And that's what's happening. There's things that are going to be showing up, and we need to be very careful. Let's get in. Let's hold on. Let's be in prayer for those that are overtaken in a fall. Ye that are spiritual, go to them that are overtaken in the fall to restore them. So be careful. Some of you think that's your place, and then you'll be in the fall. I've watched it over the years. You see, you go to restore somebody, and then you start feeling sorry for them. When you start operating in pity and feeling sorry for people, you're in the fall already. I'm not moved by pity. I'm not moved by those things. I'm not moved if God strips you down. I'm not moved if your light bills are not being paid. I'm not moved if you're being moved out of your homes and things like that. I'm not moved by those things, if it's me nor you. I'm not moved by that, because I say God has His way in all things. And maybe God allows these tribulations and persecutions or sufferings and things like that for that we could say, wait a minute, I'm going to examine, I'm going to look, I'm going to see. Don't get haughty. Don't get high-minded. Is there anything happened by chance? Or is every single thing that happens to every leaf that blows over in the wind, is everything got an ordination in God? And you say, I don't know if it does or not. I know that it does. He said He knows of every sparrow that falls. I mean, we're serving an awesome God. You know, we need to be people that don't just come to church, but we need to be people that hear and listen and receive. This message that come forth this morning was not a pre-planned message. I just came to the house of God and said, I'm going to speak the will of God. So this is what God had in store. This isn't something that some pastor that knows you has been before the Lord and been in prayer and say, well, this and that. Even though we do those things, the Bible said to put no thought what you're going to bring, but you stay before Him, meditating on His things day and night. There's nothing wrong with some forethought and planning of a message or knowing what the Lord's going to do. I rejoice when He does me that way, when He'll speak to me and deal with me about things that I can maybe look up a scripture or two before I come. But this is what He has for you tonight. Did you receive? Did you hear? Did you take heed to the things that were spoken from the sacred desk this morning? Have you taken heed to it? That's your place. You have to work out your own salvation, and don't forget the fear and trembling. So you could walk out and say, well, I've got it all worked out. Where do we not take heed to what the minister says? Where do we get so big in God that we deny the exhortation coming forth from the sacred desk? When are you such a great prophet or such a great inspiration? I could testify to my pastor, Brother Pike. And I'm telling you what, if a man had come in and just gave his life to the Lord 2 weeks ago, and he walked in, he said, man, I was in prayer and I felt like the Lord said, thus, thus, and thus, he would be all attention. And he would yield himself and his spirit to that young fella. Not look at him like, well, you can't have nothing to say. Because he knew that there was a great God that could perfect things through the mouth of babes. And he would listen. And he would hear and he'd take heed. Where do we get so big in God that we don't listen? We don't take heed. That's a dangerous place to be. When do we esteem ourselves better than the one behind the sacred desk that we don't have to listen to what's going forth from the sacred desk? You see, that proves that you're not right with God. Because the Bible said again, you esteem them greater. When you esteem them greater, brothers and sisters, say, I just don't see I could do that. I do. I understand that. It's been made revelation to me. Well, how can you take a drunken skid row and make him better? By laying down there with him and putting my arms around saying, I love you, man, and I'm here to help you. If I thought myself better, I wouldn't do that. But if I thought him better, I'm concerned for his soul. And I'd lay down there with him in the stench and say, brother, I love you and I want to help you. Well, I'm afraid he'll take advantage of me. I'm afraid he'll take me. That's because you think too highly of yourself. I'm willing for you to rob me, to steal from me, and to take everything I got. But I'm going to tell you about Jesus while you're doing it. See, now we're talking about love. He said to love them that despitefully use you, to do good to them that are evil. See, now we're talking about God, not talking about you. Are you too good to win souls? Are you too good to labor in his vineyards? Are you too good to humble yourself that he could be exalted in you through the humility? His glory will come forth. Church, let's take heed. Let's listen. Are we full of pride? Are we walking in a lie for people will think we're something when we're nothing? Are we willing to walk in a lie for we can walk away from people that they could say, oh, well, this is a great individual, or this is a good man, or this is somebody great? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fire and they didn't have their hair singed or smoke, it wasn't their goodness. It was his. And when you walk beyond reproach and upright, it's him and him alone. So nowhere can you stick your chest out. And when you got your chest stuck out is when you're going to find yourself on your face. When you think that you're better than others is when you're going to find yourself on your face. When you think that you're the messenger and the one, you'll find yourself on your face. When you make yourself and prefer them greater than yourself, and you will sacrifice for them. And you do things not for self-esteem, not for self-prestige, or not for you could be made and known, or it's for him. Let's remember him, church. Let's stand together. I want you to remember one thing today. Let's just remember him. Remember him in everything. He is all. He's all things. There's nothing outside of him. Let's remember him. Let's esteem him, praise him, worship him, honor him, walk with him. Amen. Remember, it's him and him alone. Are you predestined in him? Something to consider. Make that calling and that predestination sure. The way you know it's him and that you're predestined in him is because he receives the glory for all things. If you take any of the glory whatsoever, it's not his glory that you're taking, it's your own. And it'll crash and it'll crumble. But the glory of God will stand forever and ever and ever. Fall in love with Jesus. Let him be your God, your Lord, and your King. Let him be your everything. Amen. So remember to yield to him, to listen to him. And make him not have to take drastic action in your life to remove things from your life. That you could walk in him. That he could raise you up to bring glory to his name. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. Just close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you for coming to the house of God this morning. My prayer is that you could receive what the Spirit of God has said unto you this day. That you could yield and not let it slip away at any given time. That you could be in the perfect will of God. Walking to bring glory unto the kingdom of God as we see the day and the hour is shortened. And then we see this great falling away of so many that are walking in religious darkness and religious ideologies that are believed a lie and they're damned. Been turned over to a reprobate mind, yielding themselves to the members of their own flesh rather than of God, seeking after their own will other than the will of him. This is a great and frightful day, brothers and sisters. But I pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you can take heed and receive the exhortation from heaven, that you could examine yourself and see that you are in the faith. Amen. That you can walk upright and yield yourself over to the full counsel of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, as you press into the deeper things of God, that you could yield forth fruit by bringing others into the kingdom with you as you are a Savior, leading people into the kingdom of God by walking in the perfect will of a living God. I love you and appreciate you. Pray for me. Pray for them that aren't here this morning. Pray that we could unify together in one mind and one accord, that we could turn this world upside down in the last few moments of what we call time that this world has. That we could do something for the kingdom of God that'll bring glory unto his name. I love y'all and appreciate you. God bless.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.